Hello and welcome back to more verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I'm going to safely assume that you tuned in because you believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is so important in today's society. And my name is Matthew, and my wife Victoria and I, we've opened up a hand car wash in Churchill. It's called the Wash and Word. You can find us on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And there we have opened up this car wash in an effort to get God's Word into the public view, and to do so in a way that's not a little bit unorthodox from the four walls of the church that we're used to. And so what we do is we preach verse-by-verse Bible messages. We play them on a loop. They run 24/7 off of a small radio transmitter right here at the Wash and Word building. So if you come into the parking lot, whether you're over there by the fitness center or the library or HMG Medical Center, or you're over by Pals, anywhere in this basic vicinity, you turn your radio to 107.1 FM and you could hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching being taught 24/7, because we believe that the entire counsel of God's Word needs to get out there. And so, speaking of the entire counsel, we're currently in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're in a subject now where if you've been following along, and hopefully you have, but if you haven't, you can catch up by going to the washandword.com website. That's wash, letter N, word.com. And there you click on the media tab, and we have all of our previously recorded and aired messages. They're free to download, free to listen to, encourage you to share them. And these messages go forth on WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. So if you want to tune in then, you could hear them also there. I'd also like to invite you to the live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I'm currently teaching on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. I encourage you to come out and check out what Pastor Joel is doing at that church. He's really created an environment that models the early church, something we haven't seen in today's church society. So again, come on out, 415 Old Union Road, Abundant Life Fellowship, for Sunday morning service. And again, I preach there Sunday nights at 6 p.m. All right, so back into 1 Corinthians. Paul is on the heels of talking about sexual immorality. Of course, the first six chapters of 1 Corinthians, he's alluded to certain sexual practices quite often, actually. In fact, that's one of the problems with this church, and that's why he had to keep writing letters to them. There's at least three. Two of them made it into the canon of Scripture, but we know there's a third one based on other things Paul has said, but there could have even been more. So it was a church that constantly needs correction, and if that doesn't just fit our life, I don't know what does. You know, as Christians, even if we're really devoted and really following Christ, we are constantly in need of correction. It's just the way this fallen flesh is set up. And until Christ comes and purifies us and gives us our new bodies, we're always going to be in this battle. But the point and the goal here is to continually move forward in a direction towards perfection, not sliding backwards. And that's what this church was doing. That's what we so often do. And we just need words of correction. Now, remember, Paul is writing this section of Scripture, chapter 7. In my Bible, it's subtitled just marriage. And the reason is Paul has transitioned. You see, he's not denouncing sex or sexual relationships or anything like that. He understands that there's power in the drive, the sexual drive that God has put within human beings, men especially, and women for the procreation part. But, you know, there's a strong draw towards it. That's why the devil uses sex to destroy lives in so many different facets. So God is aware of the passion involved. So Paul says, look, I'm not trying to take it out of the equation. I'm trying to put it into the parameters that God originally intended it. And that, of course, is sex inside of the confines of marriage. And so Paul transitioning now from all of this sexual deviancy he's been dealing with into the marriage benefit of sex, or we should say the sexual benefit of marriage. And so the number one thing we're going to look at three things that Paul says about sex and marriage. And the first thing is this: sex is a benefit of marriage, but should never be a reason for it. Sex is a benefit of marriage, but it should never be a reason for it. You know, I've actually heard people say, when I've counseled them or talked to them, like, well, why is it you want to get married to this person? And they will flat out say, because the sex is great. That is not good. That is no foundation for getting together with somebody, especially marrying a person. Sex is a benefit of marriage, but should never be a reason for it. Sex is not the most important part of a love relationship. A Syracuse University study survey asked marriage couples to rank the 10 most important things in a marriage relationship. Caring, a sense of humor, and communication came in first. Second and third, those were the first three. They said that the most important thing in a marriage relationship was caring, humor, and communication. And sex came in ninth, just ahead of sharing household duties. I mean, let's face it, even though it made the top 10 list, it shouldn't be one of the most important reasons for getting together. Sex is a great part of marriage, there's no doubt. And what Paul is saying here is that sex, contrary to many religious beliefs, is not strictly for making babies. It's pleasurable. God knows it. Paul knew it. The devil knows it. And so we cast aside the comical notion of storks bringing babies. And, you know, we get to the idea that sex has more benefits than just procreation. I heard a little story. It said a little boy asked his mother where he came from and also where she had come from as a baby. His mother gave him a tall tale about a beautiful white feathered bird. The boy asked his grandmother the same question and received a variation of the bird story. Outside to his playmates, he says, "You know, there hasn't been a normal birth in my family for three generations." Listen, a lot of older generations and even a lot of Roman Catholic teachings have led people to believe that sex was used strictly for baby making and should only be done during a few times when a baby is desirable. You know, I grew up thinking that a baby was the worst possible consequence of sex. That's the generation I come up in. Not the greatest purpose of it. And boy, how have things changed. Listen, God knows that sex feels good. God designed it that way. It is probably one of the most single greatest physical feelings that a person can experience. Are you uncomfortable yet? You know, God's word was never meant to make us comfortable. And if we don't deal with the hard subjects and the uncomfortable subjects, then we're leaving parts of God's word out. And this is why verse-by-verse Bible teaching is so important, because it forces the teacher and the hearers to cover every subject that we come across in the Bible. And that's the way God designed it, for his entire counsel to go forward. And so this is why we're looking at it. It may be a little bit PG-13, but listen, it's in the Bible. We preach it. You listen to it. That settles it. God also designed sex to be surrounded and protected by the walls of marriage. You see, that's one of the benefits of marriage is the sexual relationship part of it, and the confines of marriage provides a protection around the marriage itself. Because the devil would love to take something that feels good and use it to destroy people. And believe me, he's been very successful at doing that. But when we continue, when we keep this within the confines of marriage, when we don't stray outside of the walls God has set up for marriage, we can have a wonderful relationship that is filled with both pleasure and comfort and desire. It is an important covenant. This marriage thing is almost as important as the covenant of Christ. And if you look at the two, you know, we are being prepared as the church, as the bride of Christ. And there's a lot of marriage references when it comes to the church and to Jesus, our groom. So there's a strong connection and a high priority that God has placed on the covenant of marriage. And going back to that survey we looked at, you know, communication as a foundational principle of marriage came in third on the list. And I say that because it's important for a husband and wife, they should talk openly about sex in their relationship. You should keep the marriage bed undefiled for sure, but one another should talk to each other, find out what they like, what they enjoy, what they don't like. It's a way to enhance the experience that God has given us for our pleasure. So don't be afraid to communicate with your spouse. Let them know what's desirable and what's not. And believe me, Paul says this is how a marriage can be successful and pleasurable and rewarding and fulfilling. So the second thing he says about marriage, he says not only is sex a benefit of marriage, not a reason for it, he says that the fulfillment of the sexual relationship in marriage is a safeguard against lustful attacks. I'll say that again because my phone went off while we were doing that. The fulfillment of the sexual relationship in marriage is a safeguard against lustful attacks. Let's face it, the devil wants to attack you and he wants to do it using lustful thoughts and actions. But there's one important aspect that needs to be present. The fulfillment Paul speaks of here is the desire to fulfill the other partner. You know, sex that is entered into with the sole purpose of being fulfilled for yourself or having your needs met negates a very important element of the act of sex within a marriage, and that is using the sexual relationship to fulfill one another, not just self. Because in doing so, you not only fulfill your physical need, but an element of pleasure that is derived by knowing you have met your spouse's needs. And this feeling extends far beyond the physical relief that we're talking about here. It extends into, as Paul says, into a healing, and it's an immune booster for your entire relationship. It enhances the entire dynamic of your marriage. And when a man, and I say a man because it usually is a man, uses this passage of Scripture to get what he wants, what happens is he begins to chip away at the foundation of the marriage. I demand my right to sexual relief, one might claim. Or, quoting Paul out of context, your body is not your own. It belongs to me. You owe me. These kinds of mentalities are detrimental to a marriage. Because you can use this weapon, but it's going to result in the exact opposite of the God-given sexual fulfillment among married couples. So rather than strengthening the relationship with each other and your sexual encounters together, you begin to tear it down with a me-only mentality. And then resentment begins to set in. Resentment turns to disdain. Disdain turns to hate. And then the devil can get his foot in there. And if a sexual relationship is being driven by the desire for the other person's need to be met and satisfied, you are now fulfilling the God-given reason for sex in marriage. But Paul also gives another warning, and to paraphrase, ladies, now I'm talking mostly to you, don't use sex as a weapon. I mean, it is a great thing God has instituted. But I'm sure that power that you have over us must feel pretty good. And unless the denial or the cessation of a sexual relationship for a time is agreed upon neutrally, again, that is only going to cause more strife in the marriage. Listen, the only way to have your needs met and yourself fulfilled is to seek the fulfillment of your spouse. Did you hear that? The only way to have your needs met and yourself fulfilled is to seek the fulfillment of your spouse. And I will remind you that this mentality regarding sex and marriage extends far beyond sex and marriage. We are to give ourselves over for the benefit of others. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And the idea of self-denial and putting others ahead of you is not just a marriage model. It is essentially a Christ-filled life model. And it brings joy. And it brings peace. So that's two of the three things Paul says it's designed for marriage. One, sex is a benefit of marriage, but should never be a reason for it. Number two, the fulfillment of a sexual relationship in marriage is a safeguard against lustful attacks. And the third thing we'll have to look at in our next teaching, and we encourage you to come back here at the radio station Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. on WMCH, 1260 a.m. radio. Come to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. I preach verse by verse on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Come by the Wash and Word. Tune to 107.1 FM to hear these messages 24/7. You see, we're doing everything we can to get God's Word out there in as many places as possible because we know the importance of His whole Word. Well, we'll see you at the Wash and Word. Have a blessed day.